Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community at allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come join our wild of Luyu in Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into Twisted Thoughts of the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Wednesday, we've got two shows. 1 p.m. edition serves up Keeping It Brief for all you brevity writers. And later in the evening, Turn Up the Heat with the Art of Seduction. Thursday's a split between In Our Craft of Soul and Art with Richard and Neutron and Double Helix with Asiana and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday, split with Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds, bringing you Bad Company and Ekphrasis with Captain B2 and Dan. And if you're looking for a little more edgier realm, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Monday through Saturday mornings. Mondays are split between Savelle and P with Victoria and New Chapters in the Black Lace Diaries with Mr. M and Mistress Frost. Tuesdays, Come Take a Walk on the Wild Side. Thursday sees Jeremy bringing the headlining Fall. Fridays are split between Falling into the Dark Japan and Break on Through. And Saturday, join Aphasiana and Babla as they teach you the fine art of being part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call in to read your poems. Send us SoundCloud. And, hey, just hang for the fun. Good evening, Jean. How are you doing?
Hi, Rex. I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm just fine. See,
yeah,
I finally got Keeping It Brief in there.
Very good, very good. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. It looks like a great board for tonight.
Yeah.
And just so you know, we have two folks with us. We have Pam, who tonight has been dubbed Pamela. And we have Dex.
Okay,
so hello, Dex, and hello, Pam. Good to have you both here.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Good to be here.
Glad I could make it.
Awesome, awesome. Yes, us too.
Glad to have you.
Absolutely. It's all the good stuff. So how's everyone doing tonight?
Well, all in all, pretty good, considering the heat wave seems to have missed me. I see people posting that they have temperatures in the 90s, 100s, and I'm sitting here at, like, 66.
Wow.
Just add another one, and you'll just add another six to that, and you'll be burning for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're at 73, too. I'm right there with you, Pam. We got a nice thing.
Yep.
Damn.
So, all in all, it's
pretty
good.
That's pretty awesome.
And
everybody's jealous
of
you tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Good. I'm at 85, and I feel like it's 107. It's sticky. It's so humid here, and I don't like that. That's my least favorite. But, yeah. Yep. And what's your temperature, Rex?
Right now, I'm thinking we're looking at 79.
Mm. Pretty nice.
Yeah.
Late night poets, we're not meant to be that temperature. We're not meant to be at that hot at this time of night, you know?
Yeah.
No,
we're meant to be in a cave where it's damp and dark and growing mushrooms and...
Yeah, exactly.
See,
we're like
Pam's
the children under the stairs.
The
we're theater. Like the children under the basement stairs.
Exactly.
I find that it's
no
pretty amazing that I got a high. My, oh my.
Well, for those of you that don't know,
I'm sorry, Ann.
I'll tell you. I said, for those of you who don't know, Rod Stewart came to a bit of prominence, and it started around 1969. The group, The Small Face, had just broken up. Steve Marriott left to form his own group called Humble Pie, and Ronnie Woods and Rod Stewart had just left the Jeff Beck group, so they joined what was left of the New Faces. And they became the Faces at that point in time. And Rod was already under a contract for Mercury Records to produce. So they had a twofold engagement going on because Mercury also signed up the Faces, and they intermingled their music for the next couple of years until it kind of fell apart in 73, and they finally split in 75 because everybody was looking at the rest of the band as just Rod's backup instead of the group that they started out as, the Faces. And Rod Stewart's still touring today. I got to see him in 77 or 78. He came out in between the bands while they were finished setting up the stage. He came out in a pink one suit, bright pink full one suit, with a long pink feather bow out on his neck, and he was kicking soccer balls all over the arena.
Wow. Amazing. Yes, he was.
Oh, he did love his soccer, and he loved having a bit of fun.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at something today, and I saw he had 7 children. Oh, wow, 7 children.
Well, he did date quite a few supermodels back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And dyeing your hair like that, you never know how old he is. You can't really tell.
That's true.
Well, you can do it. You can see he's a little bit old. But apparently those pink onesies did him well. I don't mean that mean like that. You know.
Hey, that was an eye-opener. I saw this. I said, oh, shit. Bright pink one suit with a long pink feather bow. I said, okay, this is going to be interesting. It's a great show.
Yeah, I believe that.
You better put on a great show if you come out in a pink one suit.
Well,
if it's a shitty one, everybody's going to remember that, and it's not going to be that great of a story.
Well, the show consisted of mostly that album. We got a few of their songs in here. Tonight's the Night, Hot Legs, and what the hell was the other one? Oh, First Cut is the Deepest.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a great show. Since we got a bit of goods to go through, why don't we get things on the right track and start playing with the goodies.
That's all I needed to hear. Damn. Let me see if I can't clear my throat for this show. Okay. Well, Rex, as always, I'm going to put a piece of three first.
Okay.
And this is by Duncan Rothstock.
This is called Paper Birds 4, Generations, by Duncan Roth Bell. Fresh paper birds, immune and immaculate, seams inequality, pure ascent. A path can show new light, tiny pinholes in the dark. Boundaries are not a concept, every wrinkle is another spark. There's a contrast to every sight, there's a smell to every sound. Touch ground and seek the precept, just one step. Crawling through giants, all fingers and cheeks, timeline in weeks, weeks soon turn to months, loving innocence and awe, still nothing is wrong, you're just writing your song. Paper birds and clean events, not every wind carries dust, escaping into bright sunshine, the forward journey is a must. And poem. And Duncan took prompt number 6, which was... Go look it up.
Forever Young.
Ah, thank you, Dex. All right, Pam, why don't you lead us off, please?
Absolutely. Wonderful read there, Rex. I really like this one as I felt it was an answer to the idea of Forever Young. That while I think it speaks on memories and how important they are, but I think especially near the end, it as it says in the last line, this forward journey is a must, that yes, you know, you can look back at your memories, you know, you can have a fondness for them, you can always cherish them, but if you don't move forward, then nothing new is going to happen. You know, life is going to be stale. I like this all the way through, but what really grabbed my attention was a path can show new light, tiny pinholes in the dark. Boundaries are not a concept. Every wrinkle is another spark. I love the line, every wrinkle is another spark, because it reminds us of how we learn as we grow and age. And boundaries are not a concept, meaning, you know, the idea of not limiting your way of thinking and not limiting your journey in life. So excellent write and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I thought that this captured the forever young, but I also thought it captured kind of Rod Stewart, and just kind of almost what, ironically, kind of what I was just kind of made a joke about his him with dyed hair and, you know, his outfit, and this isn't a knock on him. He had a good knack for doing a good cover that kind of kept him current throughout his career.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of every wrinkle is another spark. It was almost like he could kind of reinvent himself throughout the decades. And I thought this kind of captured that well.
Excellent. You're right. That line you just hit on, every wrinkle is another spark, kind of hits on that notion every picture tells a story, where Maggie May came from in 1971. Nicely said there, Dex. Thank you. And Gene, how about you?
Well, first off, I want to let you know I picked up Passion's Promise. I'm going to ask her. Passion, did you pick up that poem?
I'm here. Hi, y'all.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good job.
How's it doing? This is a great piece. I liked it. I like the ending. Not every wind carries dust escaping into bright sunshine. This forward journey is a must. Is every song that he put out brought a spark. You know, every song, you know, it just was awesomely, awesomely done. Guys, I'm having problems with my phone. I'll be right back.
All right, well, thank you, Patty. All right, Gene, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought this was a nicely penned piece. I thought there was great imagery, and it was really well expressed. So I want to thank Duncan for sharing with us tonight. I really enjoyed it. Nice piece.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Those first two stanzas kind of sit out by themselves. You look at that fresh paper birds, immune and immaculate. That kind of hints at the newness, the birth. And then that second stanza, a path can show new life, kind of hits, as everybody was hitting on already, the concept of the journey itself. But that third stanza I like because it goes right back to the newness. There's a contact to every sight. There's a smell to every sound. Touch, seek the precepts. Just one step. Crawling through giants, all fingers and cheeks, timeline in weeks, weeks soon turn to months, loving innocence and awe. Still, nothing is wrong. You're just writing your song. It's that notion of the first months, weeks, and years of writing your own song in those moments. And then again, back to paper birds and clean events. There's that notion of not everything holds itself as dirty as he hits on that second line, not every wind carries dust, and escaping in the bright sunshine. There's that note of looking into and seeing what's beyond the dirt you might come across. And a forward journey is always a plus, because if you're looking back, then you're not actually living for today and then what occurs tomorrow. Nicely done, Duncan. Thank you very much. All right, Gene. We're coming back to you.
Okay, Lex, and just in case you didn't see, Passion's Promise had to step away.
I just
want to call back.
Yep.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I said something. Okay, Pam, I'm going to put this one up for you, if you do not mind. Here we go.
Okie dokie. And this is Maggie May Not by News Stalker. And it goes like this. Woke up with that Rod Stewart song playing in my head. Was it the late September that lodged those lyrics there, knowing that by that time this year a crisis will have passed one way or another? I shudder at the last thought. You always liked Maggie May, and we would stage debates about whether she was a monster, my thinking, or a goddess, your belief. As we've counted down these last 40-some years together, our viewpoints have not altered, but we tolerate each other's oddities better. Oh, please, don't let September bring to an end a bond that was weathered so many years of debate. I hate the idea of losing you, my friend. But if I do, make me promise, please. If I sing, wake up, Lori, I think I've got something to say to you. Respond with your classic snort laugh that I love so much, don't know why, and tell me it will be all right. Oh, my dear, can't we just get on back to school, light another cigarette, sitting on the cement steps outside the silly drama class of dandos? I know at some point we must reach the last act of our long-running show, but I need you beside me for the final curtain call. Is that too much to ask? Damn September, anyways. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Dex, we're going to start with you, please.
This one is very well done. It's actually very kind of touching about that lifelong love that isn't perfect. You know, you're going to argue, and you know the part, and you know you find a comfort even in the arguing. You know, and it is never more than that. Maybe just a little arguing and debating, but. This one where he's Maggie, you know, he brings back September and here, let me put it back up here. Damn September anyway. You know, September I always just think about school starting, you know, and he kinda and a lot of times in there in the song, you know, he talks about you know, he made a first class fool out of me and just I don't know. There's just a lot of references to kind of being a schoolboy love. But this one just definitely lasts forever, and I thought that this was very touching and very well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Dex. All right, Gene, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought that this was another well-written piece. I thought that the emotions were well expressed in this piece. I also have to say that I read down into the author's notes. I don't know if anyone else took notice, but the prompt for this was Maggie May. Every word of this is true. I did wake up to Maggie May playing on the loop in my brain, and I wondered at the time if it was because of the references to school in September. My best friend for over 40 years has a brain aneurysm, and I just scheduled my flight the night before to go to be with her for her surgery on September 7th. So you see, this contest entry was kismet for me. Not my best poetry, but definitely a needed-to-be-read piece, for me at least. I will keep this, I know, but it will be tweaked, of course, probably as many times as my limited remaining time allows. Note, in case you're wondering about the debate my friend and I shared over the song, it was related to Maggie's moral character. I saw her as a greedy opportunist without concern for anyone but her own wishes. My friend maintains to this day, and even more vehemently as we've gone gray, that she is to be worshipped as a role model. So just really nicely done, and I was kind of touched by the story behind it. So with that, you know, we're sending prayers and positive thoughts to both her and her friend. It was well done. So thanks for sharing.
Thank you very much, Jean. And Pam, you got Sarita. How about you?
Yes, I thought this was touching. I really had looked down at the AN, but I was glad that Jean read it because, you know, it solidified it. But even without the AN, it's still a powerful and emotive write. You know, I think some of my best friendships have been with people that I've been able to debate with and disagree with, but go right back to being friends throughout the years. So I can really relate to that. And to me, I really like how she threw lines from the song within this. And I think probably my absolute favorite is, "But if I do, make me promise. If I sing, wake up, Lori, I think I've got something to say to you. Respond with your classic snort laugh that I love so much." You know, it's that plea to want to know that your friend is going to wake up, that they're going to be the same person they always were. And, you know, it's just, yeah, I can definitely relate to throwing in humor at a time where you feel like, you know, like your what you knew and what you loved is falling apart. So just absolutely beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you very much. And News, I'm very happy that you found this. It does kind of come across as that note to Kismet because late September, but you're going up there early September. That's the only bit of oddity out. And you managed to drop in a little bit of the song to help move your thoughts along. But I got one thing I do have to say about this. It is a fitting piece. But I think you ought to find some nice paper, get a picture of your friend, put it up top of this, and have it printed on that nice paper, and bring it along with
nice.
You, and tell, read it beforehand, and have it say, "Don't you dare leave yet. We've still got more debating to do." And I'll hit on both notes, whether she's a monster or a, as your friend puts it, a role model. I think she's a bit of both because this comes off as a true note. This comes from Rod Stewart's early days, the first woman he had sex with, and obviously she was an older woman. And the debate, I guess, with you guys is, was it a good thing or a bad thing? Well, for most young men, that's probably a good thing, getting shown the ropes by an older woman. But he felt kind of abandoned in that note, so you get the idea of the monster, so to speak, while your friend, hey, you know what? He got introduced in the right way instead of fumbling in the dark, so to speak. So you guys got
But doesn't that last line or in the end give you the classic debate feel of somebody going, "Oh, but you worship him as a role model"? You know, it almost felt like I was in a debate listening to it. They're probably going, "Yeah, I never even said those words before." You know, it just seemed like it was what is the word, embellished or whatever. It was perfect. It was a perfect way to even put it in the AN. I don't know.
It could very well be. I don't know. That'll be something else they can debate on, whether she actually put it that way or did he stretch it a little bit? But that's okay. Take it along with you, Muse.
Okay.
Show it to your buddy. Tell you've got some more goodies to go through before either one of you pass on from this life. And thank you very much for actually entering this with us. It was most enjoyable.
Yeah.
All right, Jean,
there
you go.
Okay. Well, Dex, I have one for you. And here we go. Whenever you're ready.
All right, this is Damn It, Dave. Rhythm of My Heart. I tell you, put your hand upon my chest, because I speak of love to no avail. But you will see my love will pass the test. The rhythm of my heart will tell the tale. It beats a sentimental melody, a song of passion written just for you. It sings of how you mean so much to me and how it hopes that you will feel too. you will feel it too. I ask you, place your ear against my chest and close your eyes. Then you will know that it's true. You'll hear a melody of love professed, the rhythm of a heart that beats for you. End poem.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dex. All right, Gene, you get to go first.
But, you know, I think Dave did a beautiful job with this. Definitely a nice love poem, you know, and, you know, to go to rhythm of my heart, I think was very well done. You know, I ask you, place your ear against my chest and close your eyes, then you will know it's true. You'll hear a melody of love professed, the rhythm of my heart that beats for you. A great ending stanza on this. It was short and it was sweet. And it just beautifully done. So excellent job, Dave, and thanks for sharing with us. Absolutely.
Excellent. Thank you, Gene. And Pam, how about you?
Yeah, well, first of all, great read, Dexter. I have to agree with Gene. It's a beautiful love poem. And I really like how it's not only about wanting to be close to someone physical, because obviously, you know, you're asking them to put their ear against your chest, but wanting to be close to them emotionally, to want them to know that everything you have, including your heart and the beat of your heart, belongs to them. And I really like how he says, but you will see my lover pass the test. The rhythm of my heart will tell the tale. It beats a sentimental melody, a song of passion written just for you. It sings of how you mean so much to me. I think that's a wonderful expression of wanting a love that lasts a lifetime. So beautifully written, very well done.
Thank you very much, Pam. Dex, you got the read. How about you?
You know, I think that a lot of people, like, on just first take when they hear, you know, the word intimacy, you know, you think almost, you almost go over the line and think, you know, sensual. But to me, this is like the real true kind of definition of intimacy, you know, and put your hand upon my chest and just that being close. And there isn't anything real, there isn't anything sensual or sexual. This is just really building that bond with somebody, and I thought he did a fantastic job.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dex. There's two notes in this that I like. I tell you and I ask you. And then he quotes those as if he's actually speaking to you in the moment. You get that note. Put your hand upon my chest. Place your ear against my chest. So there's that nice little, as you put it, there's that note to intimacy right with those two lines itself. And everything else kind of walks into that. The sentimental melody, a song of passion written just for you. It thinks of how you mean so much to me and how it hopes that you will feel it too. There's this whole thing has an aged feeling to it, something you might find with Shakespeare or one of the other classical romance poets from 100 years ago even. It kind of sits within that note of something that's sweet and easy right in the moment. Nicely done, Dave. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, we're back on you.
Okie dokie. Well, Rex, I'm going to put the next one up for you, and I'm going to grab the next one after it, so don't anybody be talking about me. Okay, here we go.
All right. This one's called Love Chocolate by Lord of Beads. Who can cause my salivate more, melting my heart like touchstones? She should be sweet and bitter nor, addicted to changing clothes like clones. If I lend you my hands with no profit, you will turn my heart into your pocket. Let me call you Love Chocolate, Love Chocolate. You match my interests and passions fit. Being wrapped in the glitter sheet, you just give me love as a treat. You're visible, not edible. Eating you is incredible. If I lend you my hands with no profit, you will turn my heart into your pocket. Let me call you Love Chocolate, Love Chocolate. You match my interests and passions set. If you're being bought by money, you'll be eaten at once, honey. I am me, the same collector who saves you in my heart sector. If I lend you my hands with no profit, you will turn my heart into your pocket. Let me call you love chocolate, love chocolate. You match my interests and passion set. I think I have the right to choose. Can you feel you are my muse? Your perfume opens my lungs. You're always on the tip of tongues. If I lend you my hands with no profit, you will turn my heart into your pocket. Let me call you love chocolate, love chocolate. You match my interests and passion set. And Lord took hot legs for his approach to this end. All right, Pam, you get the lead off.
Well, I'm going to guess here that he really loves his hot chocolate. So, but you know what? I'm thinking that I really enjoyed this. You did a great read, Rex. I like how, you know, the repetitiveness of the line gives it a song-like quality, how it feels like there's kind of a nice touch of humor. Like, to me, like, sometimes when you exaggerate a point, it brings out the humor of it. You know, I really like, if I lend you my hands with no profit, you will turn my heart into your pocket. Let me call you love chocolate, love chocolate. And it almost feels like the idea, like, with the line, if I lend you my hands with no profit, you will turn my heart into your pocket. The idea of, you know, almost like, I don't want to say it this way, but almost like buying somebody's love. And I could be wrong there, but it just feels like that. I also like, I think I have the right to choose. Can you feel you are my muse? Your perfume opens my lungs. You're always on the tip of tongues. And you know, I think the thing about those lines is fun because it's that idea that of someone who gets everyone talking. And I'm surprised that Lord of Beebs didn't write for our Art of Seduction with all the melting chocolate prompts, because I think he would have done very well on that one. So, but excellent write and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. All right, Dex, how about you?
Well, I don't know if he would have fit in the Lord of in the Art of Seduction, because I get the feel that this is a sugar daddy, and this guy ain't seducing nothing. This guy's got a plan, but he's got a little hot number that has got a different idea. And you know, she might be seeing a little bit of dollar signs, or, you know, she might be a little bit out of his league. Maybe he's a little bit older or something. But I got the feeling of this one of he can't quite tell if he's just along for the ride as the sugar daddy or if this girl actually likes him. So anyway, very well, clever done.
I like that, Dex. Thank you. All right, Gene, how about you?
Well, you know, I think this is an interesting take on Hot Legs. And, I guess I have to kind of read over the actual lyrics just a little bit more. But it was a well-crafted piece. You know, thoughts were well expressed throughout. And I was going where Pam went, you know, into this. Here it is. I think I have the right to choose. Can you feel you are my muse? Your perfume opens my lungs. You're always on the top, on the tip of tongues that I can't read. And I think that that was just one stanza that I liked. The repeat stanza was interesting. And I think it was just a clever piece. So nice job, Lord of Beats, and thanks for sharing.
Great comments, you guys, but I'm going to go off the edge and work this a little differently. This is about literality. It's about chocolate. Look at that that first stanza. She should be sweet and bitter, nor addicted to changing clothes like clones. Being wrapped in a glitter sheet, you just give me love as a treat. You're visible, not edible. Eating you is incredible. The idea of how certain chocolates, certain flavors get wrapped in different sheets of paper. And that thought about me choosing And on the tips of my tongue, kind of points again to the fact that he's enjoying the thought of chocolate and what it does for him. And the muse being the chocolate end of things offers up that note to sweetness that one could really, really indulge in. That's why I love chocolate. I love chocolate, so to speak.
That's right. You know, everybody likes chocolate, I think. Most everybody. Okay. Well, I guess it's time for me to put something up for me.
Yeah.
So, this is called A Dog's Fantasia 3 by Jack Blue. Well, I would have been an entertainer of my queen, but someone took me back to the cabin of my pack. Yes, I love today's Pavane, but remember chasing Anne. There was no one home but my shape of monochrome. The shade was mirroring my band of bluegrass in the ring. Yes, I love today's Pavane, but pursue the voice of Anne. Someone took me out when stars began to sprout. A yellow bus of grace shook me on a double bass. Yes, I love today's Pavane, but remember watching Anne. End poem. There's the peanut.
Great read. Great read, Jean. And what did you...
Okay.
You kind of broke up there, right? What did you say? Who did you ask?
Oh, you. I mean, Jack took the first cut as the deepest at this thought, and we're going to start with you, Jack.
Yeah.
You know, my take on this is kind of almost like somebody starting almost a garage band or something in high school. There's just so many different musical references in this. You know, but my shape was monochrome bluegrass, the voice of Anne, double bass. I don't know. I just get the feeling of I look down and I see the Charlie Brown group there. But to me, this just has the feel of a startup band when you don't even really know what the hell you're doing yet, you know. But you got a hodgepodge full of people that can play random instruments or whatever, you know. And so I don't know. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Nice. Thank you, Jack. All right, Pam, what about you?
I just got back. Has everyone else commented? Or I
not
mean,
no. I guess you got to throw Jean under the bus. Jean, how about you?
Go ahead, throw Jean under the bus. It's all right. Hey, Eugene, are you around? No, he's around. I guess it's just going to be nice. You know, I thought this was an interesting piece. An interesting take on the poem. But first cut is the deepest. It's about somebody who's pretty much been jilted and is willing to give it another try for the one who's in pursuit of him now. I'm not sure how the peanuts fit into this, okay? I can't tie that together. But I think the ending lines on each stanza, I can get that first cut is the deepest thought from that, you know, because, you know, he keeps going back to that. And I remember chasing Anne, but pursue the voice of Anne, but remember watching Anne. So no matter what, that Anne is haunting all three of those stanzas in one way or another, which I thought was good. I did. I'm not sure how else I would put that together with the prompt, but I thought it was nicely written, and it was different in that respect. But a good representation of I think what he was thinking. You know, he has the references of the music, which is normal for Luke, and I always enjoy that. And usually he has the use of colors throughout. There's not so much color in this one, you know, as close as we got is bluegrass in the ring. So that was interesting to me. But, you know, they got the double bass and just different references throughout that are true to his work. And I was expecting something because it said a dog's Fantasia. I was kind of expecting something that kind of drifted me towards the movie Fantasia, because sometimes that's how it works with Luke's writing. But I did not find that. So I think that this is interesting and a little unusual for him. So nice work, Luke. And, yeah, leave me a note in the comments. Thank you.
That's my fault, Jane. I'll explain that in a minute. All right, Pam, we're back to you.
All right. Well, I know whenever Jack writes about his dog rights, he is writing about Snoopy. I was doing some research to see if there was a character named Anne, like, you know, a smaller, lesser-known character named Anne in the Peanuts, and I couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. You know, I think in an odd way, and I do have to agree with Phil that there is this less color in this one. So it's a little different for him, which, you know, that difference can be good. And it does, to me, I guess it works in an odd way with the whole idea of Snoopy and the Peanuts gang, because Charles Schulz always touched on the idea of crushes because it was such a part of childhood. You know, there was, you know, Sally had a crush on Linus, and Charlie Brown had a crush on the little red-haired girl. You know, yeah. And there was all these childhood crushes going on that had this innocence and this sweetness to this. And I think, doesn't he write to the song Baby Jane?
No, First Cut is
yeah,
the Deepest.
First Cut is the Deepest. Oh, okay. Well, that works too. Okay, because a lot of Rod Stewart's song has to do, like I noticed, at least a few of them seem to have to do with looking back, with remembering first love, whether they were the most beautiful thing you ever had or they hurt a whole lot. And, you know, I really feel like that does have to do, in its own playful and interesting way, has to do with that first love that you keep going back to. So, very well done.
I think you're on the right track. It does fit on the note of Snoopy. But I think he's offering it up as a that note, because you know, that first stanza, I would have been the entertainer of my queen, but someone took me back to the cabin of my pack. So it kind of hits that notion of being given out as a puppy, but then being returned. Yes, I love today's Pavane, but remember chasing Anne, that little memory that niggles at the back of his brain. And also, a yellow bus of grace shook me on the double bass. Yes, I love today's Pavane, but remember watching Anne. So he's I've grown up a bit. Yellow bus figures in the Charlie Brown cartoons with Snoopy all the time. Now, as far as the Fantasia angle, I think it was a couple of contests back, and I commented on one of his pieces with Fantasia, because he used used the magic in it, and it contained a whole lot of thought. So I kind of hinted at the angle of Fantasia. I liked the idea that he's now running some of his thoughts as Fantasia, that magical mystery world of not just the color, but the things that go through it, the mystery and the magic.
Mm.
Nicely done, Jack. Thank you very much. All right, where would you like to go next?
You're just also damn smart. I can't stand it.
Well, I just had like a deja vu. The last time I read a Jack poem, I looked up the word Pavane, and he must have had that in there. He must have had that in his last one, but it's a 16th or 17th
he's been calling
century Dan.
He does seem to have favorite words.
Yes, Pavane, and there's another one too.
Ballad. Pavane. And, yes, there's another one.
yes, yes, yes. Baggage Hell. That's the other one. See?
Yep.
I was on it. Okay, now, let me go back here. Oh, Pam, this one's for you. I had to remember where I was going. Okay.
Okay.
And whenever you're ready.
All right. And this is not an act of spite by Karma Cat. I'm sure that your heart's in the right place. I'm sure that you break more than I make. My mother says you're up your own ass like a stagehand at a puppet show. But hell, what does she know? Because you're so appealing, that black dress you wear is so damn revealing. You're a woman of few needs of little sleep. Your thoughts are so deep that they sound just as good with your slurred speech. And you're so relieving. You're like the cold drops of rain on the warm summer's evening. It's always up to you, right? Decide when the night isn't over. Because the pubs are empty and they're closing up. But with prose of a standard English drunk, she says, I hope the salt water ruins your clothes. And I hope you spend the rest of your life sleeping alone. I hope the problems that make your life harder sit stubborn in your stomach like kidney stone. Now it's turning 3 a.m. The bouncer's put you on his third warning. But somehow I'm still here, and I know I'm not leaving. Let it be known that this is not an act of spite. It's a visceral coming to. All I can do is spit the truth, and the truth always is back to you. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And this comment took the prompt, first cut is the deepest. And Dex, why don't we leave it with you? What'd you think?
Yeah, this had the feel, I don't know why, well, it was about a man written about a woman. This had the feel almost of a female Bukowski or something along those lines where the back and forth is always, you know, is this a genius? Is this somebody admirable? Or is this just a drunk? Or is this just a barfly? This woman, he happens to notice different traits that others might not. Or he almost is looking at this, or else he could be looking at this person with kind of pink rose-colored glasses or whatever the term is when he looks at this person. But he feels a deep connection with them, and maybe it's because they kind of live on the edge and this person can't or doesn't know. But it took a full circle, or it went full circle on this one, and it's not an act out of spite. It's not towards his mother or anything like this. I just think that this person that he's talking about has got this genuine kind of it, or just a I don't know, what do you want to call it, just a pull, a gravitational kind of pull to them. There, whether they're a drunk or not, you know, there's just a pull to them. I don't know. I just thought that this was a fantastic piece.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Dex. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I find this intriguing because, you know, it is written to first cut is the deepest. But all I keep seeing here is that first cut. I'm not seeing something moving forward from here or any talk of that. So I think it's an interesting concept that, you know, they're leaning towards that first cut instead of the current. You know, I'll take another chance. Maybe I'm missing it. Maybe I'm just missing it. But the slurred speech and the ending line speech of those stanzas is not leading me. And I think that,
you know, it was nicely done. It was well written to the prompt. Just didn't take me where I thought it was going to go. But hey, you know, not for me to say. Everybody takes it somewhere different, and it's all a matter of perspective. So nicely done, Karma Cat, and thanks for sharing with us.
Thank you, Jean. And Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed and appreciated this one. Now, I took this as an on-again, off-again relationship, and I take it with the idea that I feel like this is someone the mother knows, which means, and because of the mother, the way the mother speaks about them, it's kind of that, you know, that almost overly crass protectiveness of a mother seeing her child, her grown child with in a relationship that keeps hurting them over and over again. And I take this to be that it's an off period of the relationship, like I'm not sure who's the he and who's the she. I'm sorry. I suppose I should know this. She has broken his heart. And instead of leaving her, you know, he's making sure that, you know, he still has this desire for her. He still has this desire to love her despite all the hurt she's put him through. And I also feel like there's this kind of idea of the desire to see her home safely. Like, he's not there to make fun of her. He just wants to see her home safely. I do really wish I could have pulled off in drunk English woman, but I couldn't quite, so, you know, but I did. maybe if I had had a little bit more Guinness or whatever, you know, well, then I would have been going, top of the morning to you. But I really did enjoy that part where he says, because the pubs are empty and they're closing up, but with the prose of a standard English drunk, she says. And that whole part just, I mean, it had me smiling. So just an excellent write, gritty and humorous at the same time. So very well done.
But we still got a whole nother hour, Pam. If you would have got all sauced up for this poem, we still got a whole nother hour.
Then I'd be a drunk English woman the rest of the show.
All right. Great comments, everybody. All right, that first stanza, he's trying to convince himself, I'm sure that your heart's in the right place. I'm sure that you break more than I make. And he's, the reference to his mother is that she's noticed the change in him, and they've discussed some of it. That's why she's up her own ass, so to speak. But then the offering comes right back again. Because you're so appealing, the black dress you wear is so damn revealing. You're a woman of few needs, a little sleep. Your thoughts are so deep that they sound just as good with your slurred speech. So the drunkenness is on her. The idea that something has been captured, whether it's just the conversations they've had or whatever else, something he can't get out of the system, and that is her, despite the public drunkenness. And that thought Pam hit on, because the pubs are empty and they're closing up, but with the prose for standard English drunk, she says, I hope the salt water ruins your clothes, and I hope you spend the rest of your life sleeping alone. I hope the problems that make your life harder sit stubborn in your stomach like kidney stones. That's kind of brutal. That thought that had the idea of a little Bukowski note to that, that was a perfect thought for that. And the back end of it is still, he's still enamored for some odd reason. Let it be known that this is not an act of spite. It's a visceral coming to. All I can do is spit the truth, and the truth always leads back to you. The pain, the angst, the turmoil, the willing to sit there and take the abuse. So there's a heavy note of sarcasm, and there is a touch of revenge for this. And despite not being spite, it's a bit spiteful too. So thank you very much, Karma Cat. Appreciate the ride. All right, Jane. We're coming back your way.
Okie dokie. Well, I'm going to kick this one over to Dex, and this is called I Think I Have Something to Say, Maggie, by S. Sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. This is I Think I Have Something to Say, Maggie, by S. Sharp. Oh, Maggie, I couldn't have tried anymore. Love spun like cotton, dancing on the dance floor. We had a rock ballad for sure. This ain't no square dance. Why you always changing partners? I just don't care anymore. Oh, Maggie, why you always sleeping on me? I can't get myself out from under you. The hold you have, all the things you do, those bedroom eyes used to be my cue. But I turned on the lights, and it's not just you. You shook me to my core. No, Maggie, I just can't try it no more. Love spun like cotton candy. Everyone's favorite for sure. Melts in my mouth as I fall to the floor. All my tears I gather up. Packing up my bags, I'm closing this door. I finally made it back home, you see. Oh, I finally made it back home, Maggie. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, you get to lead off.
All right. Well, I really enjoyed this one. It was a nice take on the song. I really like where he says, this ain't no square dance. Why are you always changing partners? I just don't care no more. I like the analogy of how he wants to dance one-on-one and she just wants to keep changing partners. And I like how this touches on the whole vibe tone of the song, but uses his own words, you know, his own metaphors and imagery. Besides the square dancing lines, I also really like, oh, Maggie, I just can't try no more. Love spun like cotton candy. Everyone's favorite for sure. Melts in my mouth as I fall to the floor. All my tears I gather up. I like the metaphor of the love being like cotton candy because, you know, it spins together so nicely. It looks so beautiful. It tastes so good. But there's no depth, no nutrition to it. There's nothing that's going to keep it from falling apart. And so it's a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you very much, Jean. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a great take on the prompt, and I thought when I read the last lines, you know, finally made it back home, you see. I finally made it back home, Maggie. He was going home, so apparently, you know, he got there. And I guess he thought he needed to let her know. But it was well done, and I thought it was nicely written by Scott. You know, he's a good poet, and he writes things in a manner that you can really pick up the emotions and the thoughts that he's putting out, and that's always nice. So, you know, I thought it was well expressed. Thank you, thank you, Scott. Oh, well, Frank can hear from here. I must have been reading something else in my brain. Sorry.
All right. Thank you, Jean. And Dex, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, I thought this was a fantastic write by Scott and very clever. This just kind of has the feel to it about, you know, being with a partner that's kind of just out of your element. You know, if you're a homebody and you're with somebody that's kind of a bar hopper, you know, you're always out of your element a little bit. You know, we had a rock ballad, but you were changing partners. You know, you were square dancing. Those bedroom eyes and you shook me to my core. You know, it's just like you had this idea in your mind, but your idea in your mind didn't match what you really wanted and when you jumped into this thing. And so you bit off more than you could chew, and I thought that this was a very skillful way of writing it.
Thank you, Dex. I like that because I kind of walk along that. There's a note of understanding. I couldn't have tried anymore. Why are you always changing partners? And then I just don't care no more. That second stanza opens up a whole lot. I can't get myself out from under you. The holes you have, all the things you do. Those bedroom eyes used to be my cue. But I turned on the lights, and it's not just you. You shook me to my core. He walked in on her with someone else, which kind of set the deal in that note right there. And that thought to cotton candy up top was spun like cotton, with the idea of something sweet in the moment. But love spun like cotton candy in that third stanza, everyone's favorite for sure. And now there's an understanding that she's been around the block a few times, even on his watch. And that's the end of packing up my dad bag. I'm closing this door. And that note, too, I finally made it back home, Maggie. It's kind of, you know what? I'm done with you. This is the last you'll hear of me.
Sounds like a good idea until you actually got to roll her over and talk to her, huh?
Oh, nice. Good. All right.
Oh,
thank
my.
You, Scott. All right, Gene, we're coming to you now. What you got for us?
You fellas are just murder. That's what I'm going to say. Okay. Well, Rex, I think that brings me to you. Yes. And, yes. So I'm going to put this one up, String Synthesis by Duke J.R.
Ah. String Synthesis by Luke J.R. Strings Synthesis, 3 a.m. Awoken from dreams, broken beams, 4 a.m. Awoken from nightmares within, breaking through me again. Enough. I've had enough of your lies. There's no time to follow this pattern. There's no rhyme to follow this line. I've whispered in an empty room. My voice reveals your womb. It's not that I wanted you to love me. I didn't want any love to begin with. There's so much you can't take in. Breathing in the smoke, I'm dying within. Every sin, I lose myself with sly grin. Balance, that's what I bring to this ship. It sinks from the moment you gain grip. How I wish for something more than this. I'm drowning in tears of my own dish. I'm left alone at the table with four legs. I'm the man who finally begs. Strings, there's synthesis in this. There's a protruding dream through growth. I've given it up to you. I've given up my dreams. God, I give you everything she needs. Why are my prayers the only space that seems? Attentioning to the lonely man that dreams. I ridiculed the monster held within safety. No longer wet dreams, creams of old teams. Forbidden fruit, I parted with you this week. It entangles around the heart that beats the longest, not the heart that remains the strongest. Strings, there's trees within trees in these dreams. Your flesh form within branches, tangled amongst the leaves. No wonder you are the one that leaves. Now I know why I sit here chasing myself with dreams. Because all is not as well as it seems. And bone. All right, Pam, you got to kick us off.
All right. Well, first of all, great read here, Rex. And I like how this has that countdown of, you know, that feeling of insomnia throughout it, and thinking back on the past. I'm really intrigued with the line, I've whispered in an empty room, my voice reveals your womb. It's not that I wanted you to love me. I didn't want any love to begin with. You know, I feel like there's this idea of this man who's been hurt by women, starting with his mother. And I could be wrong, but there's something, because of the use of the word womb, I feel like his pain started in childhood. And from there, he's never been able to find someone to fulfill that gap. I also really like attentioning to the lonely man that dreams, I'd ridicule the monster held within safety. no longer wet dreams, kings of all teens, forbidden fruit, I parted with you, this root entangled around the heart that beats the longest. And you just feel the idea of letting go of something that's not good for you, but missing it at the same time, because in its own twisted way, it filled an emptiness that you've had. It's intriguing, right? Beautifully written, wonderful use of really just raw imagery, and very well done.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Sam. And Jeff, how about you?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of pain, I think, in this. And it, when you look at the lines, you know, my voice reveals your womb. It's not that I wanted you to love me. I didn't want any love to begin with. I just feel like this entire poem is almost like trying to build a bridge out of wet sand or something. You know, there isn't a strength from either of them that they're putting forth that gives it any stability to build on. There isn't any stability in this entire poem. And so every concept, every thought gets broken immediately. It's just a shell of an idea, and it's very skillfully written, and it's very painful. Very well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Dex. How about you, Gene? Ooh-hoo.
Eugene is not here. Total sucker. I don't know. He must be out running around the streets or something. Dirty bird that he is. Anyway, you know, I agree with everybody. You know, it is a piece with some turmoil in it. And sadness and pain. You know, but it was a nicely penned piece. It was well put together. I thought there was clever imagery and a nice conveyance of emotions. But I wasn't sure what prompt he may have been leaning towards when he put it in the contest. So I'm a little lost there, but it was intriguing. So nice job. Thanks, Lucy.
Thank you, Gene. I'm going to go with the first cut is the deepest. And I'm going with that because of that first stanza. It's not that I wanted you to love me. I didn't want any love to begin with. There's so much you can't take in. Breathing in the smoke, I'm dying within. That's the kind of lead off into that second stanza, which has the note of that which is the most painful. Every sin, I lose myself to a sly grin. Balance, that's what I bring to this ship. It sinks from the moment you gain grip. How I wish for something more than this. I'm drowning in the tears of my own dish. I'm left alone at the table with four legs. I'm the man who finally begs. He wasn't looking for that love, but it did find its way in. And now it's left him crying and begging. And yet, it's not going to happen. With that final line, because all is not as well as it seems, there's that note of being broken in the moment. Understanding, even willing to give up all of his dreams and everything that he was looking forward to in life, he's willing to give up. Yes, wasn't enough. So I go with that first cut. He finally found the love he wasn't looking for, and it gobsmacked him. Excellent. Thank you, Luke. All right, Dean, we're back on you.
Okie dokie. Pam, I have the next one for you. Okie dokie, here we go.
All right. Cannibalism by E.J. Cool. You taste clean like fresh coconut milk and late September sea spray. I bottle potions with devotion in red lace de chabelle. Rose essence lingers on licked clean fingers straight from the buzzing hive. One taste of my sticky honey pot sends you into overdrive. You nurse on me to nurse my need, shattered codependent ceiling, sharp glass cuts from orgasmic touch require deep, intensive healing. Time slows down around us, abyssal sounds of bestial rapture, then suddenly I'm swimming, brimming with plans for your next capture and poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, what you got on cannibalism?
Well, you know, we all know me, right? So you had to come to me first. I think that this was a good take on prompt three. And I had it in my head. Tonight. Is that it? I think. Something like that.
Tonight. Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought. Because I kind of looked. Yes, and I think it was well done, and it was different. It was kind of intriguing, you know. And I see that she made a reference to the negligee, which is mentioned in the song. So that was where I started to tie it together. And just clever and well done. And, you know me. I liked it. It was all right. Good job. Good job, EJ Cool. Thanks for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jean. All right, Dex, what you got?
Well, you know, sometimes I kind of maybe go a little bit overboard or whatever, or maybe a little bit off. But the way that I kind of took this one is coming from somebody who is a former addict of glass and different stimulants. This just has, to me, the feel of two people. I know it says it real blatantly in there, but it kind of is abrasive, you know, shattered codependent ceiling, sharp glass cuts from orgasmic touch requires deep. And I know the cuts deep is the song. To me, this has the feel of two people that are kind of with each other but stuck in addiction. And you know, you don't quite know how to break out of that. You know, you're cannibalizing yourself. You're cannibalizing each other. You're eating each other up at this point. And I think that is a great right.
I like that, Dex. Thank you. All right, Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Yeah, what Dexter said.
<That's cute. laughs>
No, I do actually like it. I tried to keep. No, I did honestly like what Dexter had to say, and I do have to agree with it. But I will say that, you know, because of the song and because of the title Cannibalism, you know, I just feel there's also this whole idea not only of the addiction, but almost of like offering yourself up for the first time, like a kind of an idea of losing one's virginity, and the blood that comes with that. But I also like you nurse on. I really like you nurse on me to nurse my needs. Shattered codependent healing, sharp glass cuts, orgasmic touch. Require deep, intensive healing. Time slows down around as a dizzle sounds of bestial rapture. It feels like there's this duality in the poem where they're enjoying each other physically, but they're also enjoying the addiction, whatever it is that they're taking into their bodies. And so there's this kind of a losing of time, swirling around of I guess of time. I can't think of a better word, but I know that kind of sounds a little weird. But so that's the thoughts I have. And as always, I'm just really impressed with her ability to come up with unique imagery and metaphors. So very well done.
Great thoughts, everybody. I'm going to go a little different. I'm going to go dumb and sub. Because of the language. She finishes out with, then suddenly I'm swimming, brimming with plans for your next capture. Then there's a sort of, you nurse on me to nurse my need, shattered codependent ceiling, sharp glass cuts from orgasmic touch require deep, intensive healing. This hits off the notion that she is in charge and he is there for her pleasure, yet both are, pardon the coconut up top, milking it for all it's worth. She's leading the charge, and he is dutifully following along with just the same pleasure and dependency that she is, because without the one, the other one doesn't get fed, and without the other one doesn't get to see to decide. Nicely done, EJ. Thank you. All right, Dean, we're coming back to you.
Okay, dokie. Well, I'm going to put this next piece up, and it's called A Tale of the Stars by Next Lenore. Lenore? Lenara. La Lenore. You know, I don't know. Lenore. My God. So sorry. Let me see. The Tale of the Stars. All I wanted was some love, a warm embrace before bed at night, a pat on the back, a caring smile. Instead, you push me back a mile. They say mother is the people you love. They say mother care the most. Yet you left me hither all alone, with only the stars to guide me home. I wanted you to dote on me, get to know what I like and loathe, but all my efforts were in vain. The child that matters was always Jane. They say mothers deeply love. They say mothers care the most. Yet you left me hither all alone, with only the stars to guide me home. Earnest wishes were fulfilled at night, for under the dark blue moonless sky, when you left me hither all alone, the stars did really guide me home. End poem.
Good evening. Thank you very much. And next took prompt 9, which is Broken Arrow. So, all right, Pam, why don't you lead us off, please?
Yeah, first of all, great read there, Jean. You know, I really like her name, Nix Lenore. That's a very cool handle. This had wonderful rhyme and flow in it. I like that it takes looks at a mother-daughter relationship and the idea that, you know, a child expects unconditional love from a parent, and some parents just aren't able to give it. And I really like, they say mothers deeply love, they say mothers care the most, yet you left me hither all alone with only the stars to guide me home. You know, and then as it says near the end, earnest wishes were fulfilled that night, for under the dark moonless sky, when you left me hither all alone, the stars did really guide me home. And what I like about that is even there's a sadness to it, but there's also this idea of this person who found their own way in life, you know, that they learned to connect with the stars, and they learned to connect with themselves, and learn not to need anybody else's guidance, but to trust their own instinct. But I do have to say that, you know, the whole message of a mother's rejection of her child just really just pulls hard at the heartstrings. I thought this was very well done.
Excellent. Yes, it does, ma'am. Thank you. And Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I feel that this poem is written from the perspective or from the person that has had something terribly done to them, whether that be some sort of abuse or something along those lines. See, everybody's childhood is on that fine line from being a great childhood to being, I was the one that was left in the dark. It really is kind of a fine line. And, you know, in my opinion, I can't speak for the one from the other side. But it feels like you've had something done to you or something along those lines, and you thought that maybe your parents or your mother would be able to protect you, then it really was a shitty childhood, and she wasn't looking out for you. You know, you feel that way. I don't know. I just feel like this is something deeper about this person had something done to them that they thought their mother was going to be able to help them. Anyway, that was my take.
Great thought there, Dex. Thank you. And Gene, how about you? you got to unmute first.
Yes, 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 I do. What I was going to say is, you know, I'm not familiar with the song Broken Arrow. I'm not quite sure if I should be or not. That's kind of scary to me. I was trying to listen while it was being read and trying to, like, maybe, you know, catch something there. But the piece is very well done, and it's a sad piece. And the emotions were well expressed throughout, as, you know, we can see it. I mean, she did a nice job with that. I do not, I can't speak on the correlation between it and the prompt, but the piece itself was good. And I definitely think that Nick did a nice job with it. You know, and as Pam said, you know, it's definitely a mother-daughter kind of issue going on here, you know. They say mothers deeply love. They say mothers care the most. Yet you left me here hither all alone with only the stars to guide me home. So, you know, it is some kind of a relationship thing there. And I'm not exactly sure of it, but it was nicely done. And, you know, the emotions were well expressed because even though I'm not exactly sure of the situation, you know, I can tell that there's the feelings throughout the piece. So, and that perspective is very, very well done.
Excellent. Thank you, Gene. All right. Broken Arrow in military parlance is the losing of or the stealing of a nuclear missile. So the losing fits within this, just on that thought. Looking for that warm embrace at bedtime, a pat on the back, caring smile. But instead, you push me back a mile. And then again, that third stanza. But all my efforts were in vain. The child that mattered was always Jane. So this one is lost in the moment. And that angle of being a broken arrow, because you feel unloved. You don't get the attention that that Jane does, and you get pushed out of sight, out of mind, so to speak. And that's where the you left me hither all alone. Yeah, there's kind of a grasping note to the fact that I've got no one to talk to, no one to turn to. And that last stanza had me thinking of, especially that last line, when you left me hither all alone, the stars did really guide me home. It's kind of, it's almost a spiritual note to that. Maybe the stars leading to a church or to a newer sense of being, another home, another place where they were welcomed. So I found that was a nice ending to itself. And thank you very much, Nick. All right, Gene, we're coming back into you.
Okay, look. Well, I'm going to kick this one back to you, Rex. And this is going to be Deep Cuts Beneath Us by Sight.
Ah, okay. Deep Cuts Beneath Us by Sight F. The deepest part of my soul is yours to know. For sure you've taken part in this mangled heart. Since from the start I've been the one, in your eyes, of damaging our love. I'm sure to be hated, seeing I'm forever waiting, the day you'll say you will be together as one. Only, I am the damage, as you manage to do nothing but balk, causing sudden halts in our walk. Only babble voice in your choice, ignoring my humble heart, withstanding your sharp word, honoring my life as being awful. Why endure such a thing? Surely I'm nothing of my soul glows brightly, expressing her mind shining, truths unseen in the current scene. I've been the living honest, wanting you on this, yet your days not aware of blessings in your current way. If only you knew. Mirror projections, avoiding emotions, keeping us from motion, imaging atrocious motives, protecting your heart, disconnecting from the one who absorbed your energy of fear. I will resume not being near, as I hear so quickly, she's worse, without ever seeing yours first. Negative traits, while I wait. Delivered trauma from his unhealed bomb, how long should this go on? She crying, buys, and phone. And Spike took the first cut as the deepest too. All right, Pam. Get
all
it going,
right.
Please.
Absolutely. That seems like your most popular taken prompt. I think it's a song people really relate to. I really like how this is like lays it all out there. It's like someone putting their heart out there, you know, and it's powerful and emotive all the way through. But I really like, I'm sure to be hated, seeing I'm forever waiting the day you'll say we'll be together as one. Only I am the damaged as you manage to view nothing but fault, causing sudden halts in our walk. I feel like this is a lot about emotional and psychological abuse and how it affects the mind. I also really like mirrored projections, avoiding emotions, keeping us from motion, imaging atrocities, motives, protecting your heart, disconnecting. And I think there's a lot to me on how past relationships affect current ones and how it affects the mind and the body. And I really like how she mentions that energy of fear because, you know, I like how she brings up the idea of how we emit different types of energy, and oftentimes because of developing a flight or fight response. At least that's kind of what I read into it. I thought this was beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dex, how about you?
I don't know if naive is the word quite for it, but it feels like almost like somebody that's not quite mentally stable, just as built up as a person quite yet to handle the person that they're dealing with, because it's almost like it feels almost like the one person is telling them how it is all the time. You know, and if you're your own person, and if you have a certain experience to you and certain build up to you, you know, you realize that you don't need to endure such a thing, is the way that they put it. You know, and it just seems like such a one-sided relationship. It just seems like, like I said, it's almost like one person is very green, and the other side is just a little bit too predatory for them. So very well done.
Nice thought there, Dex. Thank you. And Jean, how about you?
Well, again, I think this was a great take on the prompt. I thought it was well expressed and nicely penned. So it was nice work. You know, the first cut is the deepest. It is, I think, it's most relatable to people because it's come out in three different artists or four throughout the years. So everybody's kind of familiar with it. And I think that, you know, they definitely hit on that, where is it? I will resume not being near as I hear so quickly, she's worse. You know, when it comes to loving you, she's worse. Or me, she's worse is the line. And I think that they captured it there enough to you know, kind of tilt their hand and, you know, show that they're doing first cut as well. And I think it was a clever tip. And I think it was just a nice job. So well done, and thank you so much, Titus.
Great comments, you guys. I'm gonna hit on the opening and the closing. Hit on each other, coming back to notes, what is the deepest part of my soul is yours to know. For sure you've taken part in this mangled heart. Now, that lead-off is strong in itself. There's a lot of pain in this, and I'm looking at some of the language used. I am the damaged, as you manage to view nothing but fault, causing sudden halt in our walk. Only babble voice in your choice, ignoring my humble heart with any sharp word, honoring my life as a being awful, as an awful being. He's manipulative and abusive. at least verbally, puts her down to the point where she feels small and underappreciated. Why endure such a thing? Surely I'm nothing of. My soul glows brightly, expressing her mind shining through something in the current scene. So there's also a thought of the manipulation goes beyond their relationship. It goes to their outward note of friends as well. So she's be seen in a particular light, which kind of makes her puts her in a position where she's all alone. Mirrored projections, avoiding emotions, keeping us from motion. Imaging atrocious motives, protecting your heart, disconnecting from the one who absorbs your energy of fear. So he's broken too. And he's managed to make sure that she is as broken in the moment as he is. And the back end of this, delivered trauma from his unhealed bonds. Now that kind of speaks to the notion that something happened to him and maybe she thought she could help him past it, but it has only destroyed the two of them. Unfortunately. Thank you very much. Very much, Dice. That was wonderfully written.
Nice.
All right, Jim. We're back on you.
Well, Pam, that brings me to you. So if you relearn, read our next one for us, I will have to share.
All right. Feel the pain. By Jesna Sajan. Would you share me something? Keep it safe under lock. Keep me safe from the world that clocked me away. Share with me your world of colors, which is not pushing me away. Help me your way. I am giving you that chance to heal the grief I carried inside. Handle the steam of my emotional ride. Accept each fragment of my world. You do not feel anything I see, but that is not I meant you to be. What people know of you is not true. It is not what you deserve to brew. Your true loyal self cannot be anyone else. Give you the determination to be yourself. Help me your way. I'm giving you that chance to heal the grief I carried inside. Handle the steam of my emotional ride. Accept each fragment of my world. People hurt me the way they would. It is not what you could dry away my tears of emotional bleeding. Come hold my hands tight. Let me feel the way you do. Help me your way. I'm giving you that chance to heal the grief I carried inside. Handle the steam of my emotional ride. Accept each fragment of my world. Let me believe you are mine. Don't tell me your will. Bring me the stars. I need that only one star strongly with me, within my sight. Help me your way. I am giving you that chance to heal the grief I carried inside. Handle the steam of my emotional ride. Accept each fragment of my world and home.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Dex, I'm going to start with you.
It seems to be kind of, I don't know if it's drifted away from the songs from the beginning, but a lot of the earlier stuff was about, you know, almost a true love story. These are very unhealthy relationships we've kind of stumbled upon now. This is somebody that's really asking too much and staggering themselves into the line of fire to be hurt. Help me your way. I'm giving you that chance to heal the grief I carried inside. It's you. It's you to handle the grief and help me your way. There is no such thing as that. This is the outline of an extremely unhealthy relationship, I feel like, and but there is an absolute place for this in writing and in poetry, and there's people that live this, so I think it's very necessary.
Great piece.
Thank you very much, Dex. And Jean, how about you?
Sam, I'm back. I had someone knocking on my door. It's a popular door. I thought this was a good piece, and I thought it was well suited to the original prompt that she wrote it for, which was a George Michael song prompt. I could kind of tie it in with the title of that more so than the others, but I think it was just a nicely done piece and well written. So thank you, Justin.
Thank you very much, Jean. Pam, you got to read it.
Yeah, it was a beautiful and heartfelt write. And I think the character voice here has good intentions for what they want, but I have to kind of agree with Dexter in that it's almost like they're asking too much of a person, and that's setting the relationship up to fail. Because what they really need is a therapist. And that's not something a husband or a lover or a friend can necessarily be. You know, if you have that much hurt and pain inside, you can't expect one person to heal it all. But I do think that underneath that idea is the idea of wanting to heal with someone, of wanting that love that doesn't hurt you the way that other loves have hurt you over and over again. I really like the word she touches on. It's not what you deserve to brew. Your true royal self cannot be anyone else. Give you the determination to be yourself. And I feel like at that point, like it's a different voice. And whether it's because the characters, the inner dialogue changes or monologue, or if all of a sudden the potential love talking to her, I feel like the main character is suddenly being told, you know, you have to learn to love yourself. You have to learn to embrace yourself, because if you can't do that, you know, you can't expect somebody else to completely show you to get back together. So just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. That first stanza, share with me your world of colors, which is not pushing me away. There's kind of a note to help me see something that I cannot see myself. And there's a note to friendship. Help me your way. I'm giving you that chance to heal the grief I carried inside. Handle the steam of my emotional ride. Accept each fragment of my world.
And earlier, I also spoke at length with Dr. O'Connor, who is
the president's personal physician. I apologize.
And then, that's all right. There's also that third stanza, your true loyal self, which kind of offers up that note to friendship, too. But it also does the... Let me believe you are mine. Don't tell me you will bring me the stars. I need that only one star strongly with me, within my sight. So it did change its pacing. It went from that looking for a friend to unload on, someone to help with that which they're feeling, and maybe even show them how they walk within this world as happily as they do. The color, seeing the normal color of things rather than the gray or the black, so to speak. And again, that note to accept each fragment of my world is offered up as a question. So there's still a note of maybe uneasiness or not totally sure, but they're taking the time to put herself out there, even though it might be that much more damaging. But there is a spiritual note to it as well, besides the friendship and the love angle that walks in near the end. Nicely done, Jesna. Thank you very much. All right, Jean. I'm going to back to you.
Okie dokie. Dex, that brings me to you. I will put a piece up by Michael McDermott called Miscreation.
Absolutely. This is Michael M.C. McDermott. Or Michael McDermott, sorry.
miscreation. All right. A girl may think she has the floor when her audience settles down, but can't expect to do an encore without a crowd-pleasing sound. So give her time to tap that beat. Allow her space to find her feet. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, you get lead off.
You know, I thought, again, this is a great, an intriguing take on the chosen prompt. So it was nicely penned and a great brevity. And I was in, I found it interesting. He took it, the prompt and stage name. And, you know, when I listened to the song, to be able to capture that in the brevity, I thought was really pretty cool, you know, because the song itself is kind of heavy with lyrics. And I'm not sure why I said it. It's just a lot of repeat lines in it. So this really, this was taking it down to bare bones, and I think that Michael did a great job with that. So nicely done. And thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Jean. Pam, how about you?
Yes, this poem had me smiling. It made me think of singing karaoke after having a few shots of tequila. I liked the title, Miscreation. That was a great play on words, and it made me think of that song, Little Miss Can't Be Wrong. And, yeah, I just had this whole imagery of this drunk woman just thinking she's like belting out it all out, like you know, I don't know, whoever it is that sings good, you know. But anyways, great fun write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Dex, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, I thought that this one captured something that has been kind of something that you know, almost that. Noticeable, especially in the creative world, almost in all poetry and things like that. Seems like with some women, unless they do some sort of crowd-pleasing sound, or, you know, unless they put some type of sexual element in there, they don't. There's certain poems that they write that don't get noticed. And so I took this as kind of a different one. I took this as kind of almost a dark write than compared to what kind of Pam had said. But I felt like this had almost kind of women have to do a certain number almost to get noticed. And so I don't know. I just thought that this was a very powerful brevity.
Oh, thank you, Dex. That is different. I'm going to go with the literality angle because of the title, Miscreation, and the opening line, a girl. She's talking about a little girl, somebody who's putting on a show. Maybe she's doing a tea time with a half a dozen people. But she can't be expected to do an encore without a crowd-pleasing sound. There's that note of not the lewd angle, which you hit on, Dex, but the thought to that clap on the back, so to speak. And so give her time to tap that beat, allow her space to find her feet. A notion of you got to give the kid a little area so she can grow into herself and with what she's doing instead of just telling her, oh, honey, you got to do better than that. Show her attention and love in the moment, and let her develop as she sees fit. I like that. All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Okie dokie. The next one I'm going to put up is by Lal, and we have an audio for that. So let me get that one started, and here we go.
Leaving Me Is Easy, a poem by Lal. The sunset caught me crying as I watched it fade away, reminding me that nothing lasts and this would be the day before the morning when you'd go and break my heart for leaving me as easy, a and that's the hardest part. Your love was slowly dying, killing me with every touch. The pain you caused was endless. In the end, it was too much. You'll never know the pain I felt when you kissed me goodbye and lovers turned to strangers, then to simply passers-by. I screamed out to the heavens as I cursed the gods above for gifting me perfection so that I may sample love, for leaving me so empty when my life had been content to take away my everything when everything he meant. The sunrise caught me crying as I wiped my tears away, reminding me that life goes on and this would be the day after the morning when you'd gone and broke my heart, for leaving me was easy and that's still the hardest part. End poem.
Great read, Law. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Law took, I know I'm losing you from every picture tells a story. So, excellent. All right, Jean, why don't we start with you?
You know, I thought this is a lovely piece. You know, I like the way that Law writes always. It always has a soft quality to it. And then her audios are always wonderful. But it was nicely done, and it was, you know, a great take on her chosen prompt for the prior contest. And I think that it was just lovely. The imagery in it was wonderful. The thoughts behind it were so well stated, and it was very, just very nicely penned, you know. So great job, Lal, and thank you so much for sharing.
Love it. Excellent. Thank you, Jean. And Dex, how about you?
I think that this one just captures that breakup period, you know, whether or not you even love the person or you wanted to continue with them or not. I think that breakup period just is almost like a universal feeling of, you know, was it me or like, you know, whether or not you love them or not, I guess is a certain thing, but it's kind of like, Jesus, am I that unlovable or whatever it is, you know? I just feel like this thing just captures a certain pain that happens in that little honeymoon phase of a breakup. So I thought that this was very well done.
Thank you, Jack. All right, Sam, how about you?
Oh, this was absolutely beautiful. I loved hearing her voice. She always has a wonderful reading voice. I like this all the way through, but especially the stanza that starts with, your love was slowly dying, killing me with every touch. The pain you caused was endless. So there was hints, you know, big hints that the relationship was dying. And yet, even when it came to the conclusion that you saw it coming to, it still hurt. I screamed out to the heavens as I cursed the gods above for gifting me perfection so that I may sample love. And it's the whole idea, that question of, you know, having found love that you thought was in blast and you thought was perfect, and then having it ripped away. And I like what Dexter had to say, and I have to agree with the whole idea of, you know, it leaves you questioning yourself, like whether or not you are able to be loved by anyone. And there's such a strong sense of grief within these lines. Beautifully written and very well done.
Yep, you're right on that. Kind of think it hits on that note of everything you want in a country song. The sunset caught me crying, then the story, the heartbreak, the breakup, and the cry out to the heavens and cursing God, so to speak. And then that sort of reminding me that life goes on, and this would be the day after the morning when you've gone and broke my heart. Believing me was easy, and that's still the hardest part. A moving piece there, Law. Thank you very much. Back on you.
Okay, and for our last piece for tonight, I'll put up a piece by Pam Ray. So, Pam Ray, could you read this for us?
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to. All right. And this is inspired by Rhythm of My Heart, and it's called Half Truths and Falling Paper, and it goes like this. The eerie night is silent, and the humid air lays still. There's so much he can't tell her, and he doubts he ever will. He picks up ink and parchment to spill the words within his heart, but the visions of the dying makes them fall apart. A lonely tear escapes from the corner of his eyes. As he writes to her, he'll soon be home, and other pretty lies. War is filled with violence, broken bodies, missing limbs, visions he'll not give his family. It's a burden just for him. Just for him and his comrades fighting by his side, not for his son and daughter, not for his lovely bride. He reminds her to take care, since she's eating up for two, and says he hopes the newest will have her eyes of cobalt blue. He tells her that he thinks of her, her cooking and her charms. He tells her that he's beyond the bullets, far from any harm. He doesn't write to her that today they lost six more, and that a buddy going home today lost both his legs to war. He doesn't write of men crying over dear John notes. He doesn't share his doubts with her because he wants to gift her hope. And Lord, he knows it is a sin to tell his lady lies, but he doesn't want to bring to her the torments of his wives. So he tells her sunny half-truths and a couple funny jokes he heard while sitting round the fire with six more brawny blokes. He writes, my dear, I'll love you forever in 3 days. Then he lets the pen and paper fall. In the raging screams of gunfire, he has nothing more to say. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, you're up first.
What a wonderful story this is, Pam, throughout. Great line after great line, really, stanza upon stanza. And I think it was a great capture of the prompt, Rhythm of the Heart, or Rhythm of My Heart. I'll catch it someday. You know, mate. And I think that you said a lot in this piece. And you drew us into the story right from the beginning. The early night is silent and the humid air lays still. There's so much he can't tell her, but he doubts he ever will. And it kind of piques your interest, and you want to know where it's going to go from there. And it draws you in, and it walks you through there. And it's quite a, you know, it's kind of a sad tale, but it's still it has a beauty all its own, you know. And I love this other one here. He reminds her to take care, since she's eating up for two. And says he hopes the newest will have her eyes of cobalt blue. Just really wonderful imagery and descriptions throughout. And so very detailed and nicely done. Great job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jean.
Mm-hmm.
Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this was a wonderful write. And I'm kind of one of them ones that kind of spar on the other side of it, you know. The question is that, you know, it is like on the right here, is he keeping her from harm and keeping her from the reality of it, or is he himself kind of turning into a monster in a way and not thinking about her less and less? You know, once you start to see that brutality, it separates you from being a man. You know, it separates you from being human. So is he, you know, there's this thought, but I thought that's why it's such a great write. It intrigues me in a couple of different ways, levels of thinking. So very well done.
Thank you, Dexter.
Excellent, Dex. I think you're onto something there, but there's a little deeper note. This comes across as a final note. Because of everything that's going on around him. And the very last line, very last few lines, he writes, my dear, I'll love you forever and 3 days. Then he lets the pen and paper fall. There's a comma, heart stopped. In the raging screams of gunfire, he has nothing more to say. He's died at the end. That's the note. And he was trying to express that in the upper end by being quiet about what was going on, because he knew his last was coming and he had to leave her something beyond the thought of somebody coming to her door. Your husband just died in combat.
Yep. Thank you, Rick.
Pam's just trying
to thank you for the inspiration.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, Jean, it's back to you for closing notes. Oh, and we've got three left.
Oh.
We're moving those to Friday.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. That's Betty Page, Passion's Promise, and Rose Winner 515. And what a great show tonight, Rex. Awesome, poetry, lots of fun. Thank you, Dex. Thank you, Pam. It's always great to have other voices. People don't want to listen to me all night because I get crazy. But a wonderful show. Wonderful show, great prompts. That was a lot of fun. And, yes, so we have tomorrow we have the Garden of Enlightenment with Louie Wild Dog, followed by After Midnight with Rex and Pam. And then Tuesday was the Twisted Sisters. So, and we're pretty twisted, at least I am this week. So we'll be happy to have everyone join in and give a call, drop a poem. Always happy to have someone. Rex, excellent job, excellent show. Is there anything that anybody else wants to promote this week? Dex, are you this week? Your show? Yes, you are. And Dex is gone, so he's not going to tell us anything. See that? Jeez Louise. Pam's still here, though, but Dex took off quick. Pam, what do you got happening?
Yeah, I heard when in the off chance you wanted me to say something, because I know sometimes I drop a little too quickly.
Sometimes. She said sometimes. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to you and you're gone. I'm like, wow, really? But no, we're all good. Is there anything exciting you need to express tonight before we all get off of here? You're good?
I'll just mention that Faziana and Dexter do need rights for Double Helix. And they have a really nice quote prompt that I think people should check out. Faziana's running that contest. And that's all I have to say.
Okay, sounds good. And Rex, what do you got going on late tomorrow? Anything?
Tomorrow we've got, Frank Lloyd Wright on Tuesday.
Okay. Okay, everybody.
Yeah,
well, I know that topic was up to Tina, so that'll be good. And, so for right now, I'm not going to leave it at that. I'm not going to go through the whole week because, if you're anything like me, you'll forget by the time, I turn off the show. And we have this, and this, and by the time I get to the last one, I've forgotten the second. So I'm honest, In the meantime, everybody, I hope you have a wonderful week, and I hope you all had a great weekend. And, hopefully I'll see you on Tuesday, and you all have a great night. And thank you. Thank you, Rex.
Good night, everybody.
Great, good night.
Good night.